Condemned to live in a legal no-man's land, to be sucked slowly into a dark underworld of poverty, prostitution and crime. That's the fate being forced upon millions of migrant workers across Europe by governments that refuse to recognise their presence or guarantee them basic rights and services. These carefully documented accusations are contained in a recent report from the Jesuit Refugee Service, which works with migrant communities in countries across Europe. The report, presented on May 15th in Brussels, says government policies limiting access to healthcare, housing, education, employment and social benefits have driven many undocumented migrants into destitution, depression and desperation.
The young girls released from the detention centre without any right to work end up in the quarter of the town in the red light district. We know that in the Netherlands, outside the detention centres, people are sometimes put on the street by 4, 5 in the afternoon. There are pimps coming to look for workers.
Father Jan Stout is director of the Brussels-based European Office for the Jesuit Refugee Service, which is active in over 50 countries worldwide. He says migrant workers are an increasingly necessary part of our European economies, and it's essential that governments act now to provide basic rights and services to these people.
Yes, there are in Europe about... The estimates are between 4 and 8 million people without the right documentation. And some of these people are really on the brink of extreme poverty. And this is policy induced. Some governments on purpose withhold rights from these people to go to school, to have health care, to work, and social benefits. Well, they end up, it's an invitation to crime. And the hypothesis was that if we make life difficult enough for them, they will go home. And our report shows that does not work. You cannot starve them home. People get depressed, people get discouraged, people get an enormous distrust towards every authority. And many of these people are asylum seekers whose claim has not been accepted, which of course happens. I mean, I don't argue with that. Not everybody who is an asylum seeker rightly asked for asylum. It is not surprising that 2/3 are rejected. But then, people should be sent home. And that is also something that we are not opposing in principle. But then the reality is that a large group cannot be sent home for health reasons, because they have family members here who are allowed to stay. Or an independent judge says the administration has made a mistake, this person is at the present circumstances in great danger when he returns to Iraq or Afghanistan. So for objective reasons, people cannot return, and still the government doesn't give them any legal residence rights, and then they end up in extreme poverty.
So this is what you're asking the governments of Europe for, to somehow define the status of these people in whatever particular phase they may be of their request for asylum.
At present, they are falling through the cracks of the system. And the social inclusion policies exclude those who do not have residence rights. So what we are asking is to just not tolerate the presence of these people, but accept that they are not going back and give them a status. And if they can be returned, return them. And if they cannot return, accept the fact that it is not possible.
In which countries is this problem most serious, do you think, or which countries?
It is very much happening in Great Britain. There you have an action called a campaign called Strangers to Citizens from Refugee Action. There is a campaign called Just Fair from the British Refugee Council. There are big numbers there. There are big numbers in Germany, where they have invented a word, Duldung, toleration without rights. It is not so much a problem, as our research has shown, in countries like Slovenia. There was not, or in Ireland. It also has to do with the fact that in Spain and Ireland there's plenty of work, and even those people who do not have the right documentation can find work.
You're saying that this denying people of their rights is an invitation to crime. How are a lot of these people surviving? When you talk about being destitute, how are they finding enough to survive on?
They become very dependent on church charities, on friends, and live from day to day, hand to mouth, is the expression, I believe, without knowing what 2 days later will happen. But we have seen it on Malta, that the people, the young girls released from the detention center without any right to work, end up in the quarter of the town in the red light district. And we know that in the Netherlands, outside the detention centers, people are sometimes put on the street by 4, 5 in the afternoon. There are pimps coming to look for workers.
Are you working as JRS with some of these people to try and help them find a better way of surviving in these difficult conditions?
The short answer is no, because it is very difficult to find them, and it is in some countries forbidden to work with illegal residents. It's illegal to support illegally staying people. But we have a strong presence in the detention centers all over Europe, and it is because in the past 10 years social services hardly exist, but most European laws guarantee the presence of priests or pastors. So the Jesuits have been entering with their lay colleagues into the detention centers for pastoral care. And when these people are released from the detention center without being sent back, they don't know where to go, but they remember the Jesuit refugee service who came to see them, and they find it in the telephone directory, and then they end up on our doorstep. And in London, the first thing we do is give them a meal.
And then?
And then we, another item that we distribute often is telephone cards. That people can telephone their relatives, and then the network of distant relatives and people from the same country will take care of them. And very often they disappear and we don't know where they are.
The problem behind this, of course, is the government's reluctance to provide rights to these people. Is this somehow this fear of being swamped by immigrants coming in from the developing countries, particularly or Eastern Europe as well? What can you do perhaps to try and alert public opinion to the seriousness of this problem and the need to really reach out and help these people?
The actual approach from the European government is completely unrealistic. They, with lots of noise and fanfare, they talk about the agency Frontex that guards the European frontiers in the east, Poland, Slovakia, Hungary, in the south, Canary Islands, Lampedusa. But a far greater number of people enter Europe completely legally on a student visa or a short-time tourist visa and overstay their visa and then find work in Spain and in Italy. There is work. Europe can at present absorb 300,000 workers a year. We need 300,000 workers a year. And the European Commission will publish shortly in the Green Book about this migration issue. We expect it within 3 weeks. And the problem is that the regulations concentrate very much on high-skilled workers, like academics or intra-company transfers, you know, that you for Shell company or for British Petrol, you move from one country to another. But it hardly addresses the low-skilled workers. And Spain and Italy need the low-skilled workers for the farms. So the funny thing is that on the one hand, we need migrants, and on the other hand, we are keeping them out. And that is because there is at present not really a possibility for a visa for short-term work. And that would be the ideal thing. Give people a work permit for 2 years or 3 years. Because once a person is here and doesn't have the right papers, he will never go back because he cannot cross the border and he is afraid that he cannot come back to the country where he is working. If you give him a work permit, he will certainly go back to see his family or to build his family house or to help his mother in the country where he comes from. So the irony is that denying people travel documents makes that they stay illegally. Well, if you give them travel documents, you can be certain that they will go more frequent home.
How much, though, does the prejudice of people in Europe play into this reluctance of the government to really address the problem, to really tackle these issues?
Slowly, we are realizing, the policymakers have already realized that we need migration. But in many of the big cities, the original citizens feel uncomfortable when they become a minority in their own area of town. And I fully appreciate that is difficult, certainly when you don't speak the language of the immigrant and when the immigrant community does not do its best to open itself to the people who were there before them. And I think churches or faith-based organizations can play a big role because they are present and in the country of origin and in the country of destination. The example in Europe is, of course, the Polish workers reviving the Irish church. But I celebrate Sunday Masses in Brussels, in English churches, and then in front of me I have people from Nigeria, from the Philippines, from Hungary, from Slovakia. And they are, during that 1 hour celebration, very well integrated and talk to each other before Mass and after Mass. We have readers from all continents, and I think that churches can be a great tool for integration. The Filipinos are an excellent example. Yes, but I do, to come back to your question, I wouldn't say that there's a prejudice, but it is all going very fast, migration. So I can understand that it's difficult for people, but there is no denying it. Europe is immigration country for the first time since the Second World War. Yeah.
And my thanks there to Father Jan Stout, European Director for the Jesuit Refugee Service.